The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
We want to visit a few minutes with South Carolina Senator Josh Kimbrell. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, Joey. Good to be with you, and hope you're enjoying the 65 degrees. It's great out here. It's like fall. So,
isn't this weather just perfect? I love this time of the year when the days start cooling down, and you can actually get out and do things and not work up a sweat. But
best season of the year always. Yes.
Yes. Yes. All right, Senator, always good to have you. Let's talk for a minute. Next week, the South Carolina House will be back in session. They'll be considering some of the changes that you guys made in the abortion bill. First, take us back and give us a quick summary of what the bill, what the House sent over to you guys, the changes you made, and what you expect their actions will be.
Well, Joey, there's an old expression, you know, don't fumble the ball when you're almost in the end zone. And right now, what's happening in this state today, not to be an alarmist, but we're about to drop the ball on the 5-yard line here. I mean, this is a very bad situation. So the House passed 5399, which essentially ends abortion in South Carolina from conception, with limited exceptions for rape and incest, life of the mother, and fetal abnormality that would result in death. And the rape and incest exceptions go to 12 weeks. I think that's a balanced, you know, it's a conservative bill. It says we're not going to allow for abortions, period, for it to be used as a birth control method, which is the position I've taken pretty well my entire career. I think most Republicans do believe that. And I think most of the American people believe that. You know, nobody wants to force somebody to, you know, a 10-year-old, 11-year-old that's raped, like the Democratic examples I always give. Nobody wants to force a girl of that age to carry a baby. Nobody's talking about that. But the House bill provided reasonable exceptions. It came to the Senate, and I knew it would be a tough fight, and I worked hard in the Senate to get it through. But we had two different polar opposites. We had one group that says we don't want any exceptions, period, and if you give us any exceptions, we consider that a sellout, and we're going to vote against it. Then we had two Republicans in the Senate. I mean, all the Democrats, with the exception of, God bless him, Kent Williams, who always votes with us on conservative life issues, Democrat from Marion, barely a Democrat, I think. But we had a couple of Republicans join nearly all the Democrats to say, well, we want abortion pretty well on demand. And we had the majority of the state Senate, this, you know, majority of us in the supermajority of the Republican caucus, the majority of the outright membership voted for what the House bill was. But under the rules of the Senate, you got to overcome a filibuster. And we had too many Republican defections, so we couldn't get the bill. And what we ended up doing is stepping back and strengthening the heartbeat bill from last year, because as I'm sure you've talked about, the heartbeat bill, which really was the most pro-life bill in 30 years, I mean, up until Dobbs was overturned. Heartbeat bill was enjoined by the federal courts, and so we allowed it to go into effect for a few days. Then, of course, per usual, Planned Parenthood, ACLU, and others go sue at the state Supreme Court, and our state Supreme Court invalidated the heartbeat bill all over again. And so now we're in a state that has a heartbeat bill in the books, but it's not in effect. We literally have abortions right now happening well after 12 weeks. We're more liberal than Georgia on the issue. So we have people driving in from Atlanta to get abortions in Greenville, which is a travesty. And what we did in the Senate is at least say, let's strengthen heartbeat. So we changed some language that the Supreme Court had cited to put a hold on the heartbeat bill so we could save that. I was insistent we take the 20-week exceptions in heartbeat back to 12, so we did that. We permanently defunded Planned Parenthood. And we permanently defunded any abortion through the state health care plan. So it's still a conservative step forward. It's just not as good as what the House did. But right now, the House is saying they're probably going to non-concur, and we may be left with nothing. I mean, we're at a stalemate right this second. It's a very bad situation to where we could be left with nothing ultimately. And I think that's going to be a tragedy if we're this close to the goal line, and the difference between the House and the Senate can't be ironed out. Then we're going to have the state Supreme Court's going to leave the hold in place on heartbeat. I think they're likely to go even further and say not only are they going to leave the hold in place on heartbeat, I think they're going to end up striking down our pain capable bill and allow abortions after 21 weeks, we could literally be a third trimester abortion state by the holidays because of the way things are trending. So I've been very adamant that I would love to see the House concur with what we did, not because it's in the Senate bill. I'm admitting that. Much yeah. better. But we got to do something to save lives, and getting heartbeat in effect right now is the best course of action. However, I'm hearing the House may not concur, and I understand. I mean, I respect that. I'm just afraid that we're going to be in a situation to where instead of getting the heartbeat bill in effect right now and coming back and taking another bite at the apple in a few months when we go back to Columbia, we may be starting at zero again in January, and that's going to be a much worse place for all of us that believe in defending life.
Yeah. What makes you think that the House will not concur with the changes that you guys made?
Well, Joey, I mean, I've been having extensive conversations with House members. I've called member after member. I have reached out to colleagues across the hallway in the House. And based on the whip count that I have right now and the members I've spoken with, I don't think they're going to concur. And yeah. I understand that the Senate bill is weaker. I'm not denying that. I'm not defending it. I'm just saying reality is reality, right? So, you know, we can sit here and say, well, we don't like the Senate bill. Heck, I'm a senator who doesn't like the Senate bill very much. But I think that having heartbeat in effect is critical, and making sure we're not having people travel in from Georgia and North Carolina for abortions in South Carolina is critical. And I think we do what we can right now and keep chipping away at it. But, you know, the real reason is you got the House, the Family Caucus in the House, Chairman John McCravey, and John and I have worked together on a range of issues. They're like, well, this isn't strong enough, so we're going to vote to not concur. Again, I don't argue that it's not very strong, but I'm afraid if that block of votes breaks away, Joey, and they non-concur, I've counted every way from Wednesday. I've talked to every Senate colleague I can. We have 24 votes in the Senate to pass the House bill. And you say, well, gosh, that's a lot. That's the majority. Yeah, it's the majority. It's not enough. We got to have 26 minimum to shut down a filibuster. And I already have at least two Republicans who are going to join the Democrats in a filibuster. So we don't have the votes to stop it. And if we get the bill back from the House, my guess is the clock just runs for the rest of the year. Supreme Court hears oral arguments October 19th, and they strike down heartbeat. And then we're just in a world of hurt, unfortunately.
Yeah. If the House does not concur with the changes that you guys made, there is a chance that it'll come back to you, right? But you just think the votes aren't there to do anything further than what you've already accomplished.
Right. It'll come back to us. No question about that. The procedure is it'll come back across the hallway to the Senate.
Yeah.
But if they non-concur, I'll be the loudest guy in the room saying, we got to go back. And I'll be ready to go back down there and have the debate. I just know what's going to happen. I mean, the minute it comes back across, the filibuster begins. We don't have the votes to break a filibuster. I mean, I'll work hard. I'll be back on here on your show asking you to call Senator so-and-so or Senator so-and-so, but I don't know that it'll matter. I'm very worried that, and look, Joey, the hard part for me is trying to be a statesman. I'm not trying to say I am a statesman. I hope I'm trying to be, but I'm not so presumptuous as to say that I'm this great statesman. But to be a person who tries to pursue statesman-like behavior to do what's best for the South Carolina, you do get hit from every side.
Yeah.
I mean, I got folks who are hitting me on the hard left saying, you know, Kimbrell's a pro-life fanatic and we need to have abortion in this state. Well, obviously I disagree there. Then I got folks who are saying, well, Kimbrell needs to stop pushing the House to concur. The Senate bill's weak. I get that too, but the question is, what is best for people in the state? What is best for life? And the message is, let's get this bill done and let's keep chipping away. That is the best bet, and I'll stand by that even if I take the heat.
Yep. Well, we certainly we need for people to reach out to your House of Representatives member. We need people to talk to your senators because we certainly, as you said a minute ago, don't need to drop the ball. Fumble the ball on the 5-yard line. We got to push this through and we need to continue to be on Governor Gavin Newsom's list. You know, he's put up a couple of billboards around the state. I saw one on the way to Charlotte the other day. South Carolina does not own your body. So we got to do something to stay on his list, because anytime you're on Governor Gavin Newsom's list, you're doing something right.
That is a great message, Joey. Completely agree. And if we don't pass this bill, Gavin can stop spending money in South Carolina because we'll have the same policy he had.
Yes, unfortunately. Yeah. Senator Josh Kimbrell, always a pleasure. Appreciate the update. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you, Joey. Keep up the good work, buddy.
Sure thing. Appreciate your time.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.